0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number. George Hines is in Ballyfermot in Dublin now, but what happened, George?
Hello. Yeah, I was on a family holiday in Lanzarote.
Okay.
And when my holiday was over, my family were coming home to Dublin, but I was travelling to Alicante to get my cataract done.
Okay.
It's with the healthcare abroad scheme, you know.
So you were going through the HSE, effectively.
Yes, good man.
Okay.
And when I was boarding the flight, he informed me that because I wasn't priority, I'd have to pay for my case.
Okay.
So I said that's not a problem. I said I'm willing to pay for it, but they wouldn't take cash. They insisted on a card, and I explained that I don't have a card. I'm an old age pensioner, and I always just deal with cash. So they would actually, the bottom line is they wouldn't let me on the plane. And I explained to her, I said, I'm an old age pensioner. I'm flying to Alicante for health treatment. I didn't even say my eyes. I said for health treatment. I was booked into the hospital the next day. And the bottom line was she said, no, I can't get on the plane.
And what time of day or night was this, George?
It was at 9 o'clock at night.
What airport are we in?
We're in Lanzarote Airport,
okay.
Arrecife. Right, so I had to ring my son then and get a flight home to Dublin.
Okay, now how close at 9 o'clock when you were told, and by the way, Ryanair have replied, and this is their reply. In accordance with Ryanair's terms and conditions, which this passenger, i.e. you, George, agreed to at the time of booking, you know that thing you tick?
I didn't know that.
I don't know if anyone ever reads them. We only accept credit and debit card payments for fares, taxes, fees, charges, auxiliary services, and in-flight purchases. End of Ryanair statement. Now, that's their terms and conditions. We don't take cash anymore for anything.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's now 9 o'clock. What time was your flight due to leave Lanzarote at?
It was around 9 o'clock. The flight was. I was just at the gate. Just boarding.
You were not at the check-in.
I was at the gate, just as you're going through the gate, just before you board the plane.
You were 10 steps away from getting on the plane?
Yes.
And who checked your bag? Who stopped you and said you need 46 euro?
There's two girls on there. You know when you're handing in your passport and so forth, you're just going in the gate, which are boarding pass and all that.
Okay.
And they stopped me, right? But so that's it. She said, no, I can't get on the plane. I said, and
would anyone have been aware of your distress that you didn't have a credit card and but you had the 46 euro in cash and you're willing to pay them? Did anyone offer?
No. Unfortunately, Joe, I was travelling they were all Spanish people going back to Alicante. If I'd have been on a flight with Irish people, I would have asked one of the Irish people, would they pay for the card and give them the 46 euro? But I was left on my own. I was the last getting on the plane. I would have been the last getting on the plane.
And are you sure that the Ryanair staff there understood you? Were they English speaking?
Oh, they spoke proper English, yeah.
Do you think English was their first language? They fully understood the situation you were in when you said, I'm going to Alicante to get my for a medical procedure. I'm an old age pensioner. I don't have a credit card, but I have the 46 euro.
Yeah.
You think they fully understood that?
She did, yeah. She fully understood that, yeah.
And did they offer any other option? Did they say...
No, Joe. Nothing.
So it's now what time in the airport in Lanzarote?
Say about 9:15.
Okay, what did you do? The plane is gone.
Yeah, I phoned my son up in Dublin and I told him what happened. And he said he booked me in a flight for the next day to come back to Dublin.
He booked that separately online with his credit card.
And he said, So what happened was, I was in the airport and my family were phoning me up and I said, look, don't be worrying about me. I'm in the airport, I'm all right.
Okay.
But I didn't know that at 1 o'clock in the morning, the airport in Lanzarote closes till 4:30.
Oh, God. Closes. So the security shuts down. They clear out the airport.
Shuts down completely. Shuts down completely. So the security guy was a Spanish fella. He didn't speak perfect English, but he had a wrote down on the card he had. It explains to me that I have to go outside the building and wait till 4:30 to come back in again. So I went outside and he directed me to a place. I wasn't outside the airport. I stood in the airport building, but it was away from the main entrance. So he showed me a place where to sleep. So I actually lay down on the ground and I was there for 3.5 hours.
What age are you?
74.
Are you saying you lay down on the bare ground? On the bare concrete?
Bare concrete. And I had no warm clothes. I hadn't got a jacket with me. I had to put 3 or 4 T-shirts over my other T-shirt to keep myself warm.
And when you looked up, I'm not being facetious here, George, you were outdoors?
Outdoors, yeah, outdoors.
And well, night time is cold at the best of times. What was it like when you're lying there on the concrete?
Very lucky that night, Joe, because normally I go to Lanzarote an awful lot, and normally it's very, very cold at night. But this particular night, with the heat wave that he had, it wasn't too bad. But I actually lay down on the ground, but I couldn't sleep because I was distressed and, you know, I was very, felt very uncomfortable. I felt scared, lonely, the whole lot. And I kept saying to myself, why is this happening to me? I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it, you know. So that's basically the story.
You know? And when you to go back to the gate again, because you're not this did not happen at the check-in. This happened at the gate.
This happened at the gate, John.
I'm thinking of the staff, and they're under pressure anyway in Ryanair. All the airline staff are under pressure. They didn't say, "Listen, go over and give that man €46, and we can use his credit card."
No.
They didn't say give my colleague €46 and I'll use his or her credit card.
No.
And you had the 40. You're adamant you have the 40. You had the €46 in cash.
Joe, I had money gone because
you
were going to Alicante.
What were you hoping to get done in Alicante?
Cataract eyes. I'm half blind in one eye, Joe.
How long have you been waiting on that operation?
Well, that's the reason I was going to Alicante, because, you know, the HSC here, there's a queue. You could be waiting months. I don't know how long, you know. I knew guys that went over and got their hips done, and they recommended
go
to that place.
Yeah, well, that's what the system is there for.
Yeah.
And Spain, indeed. Isn't there a whole hospital in Spain now that just deals with Irish patients? So you're going over, Are you still? This happened on the 17th of August. Are you still waiting on the operation?
Oh God, yeah.
When I got back,
Joe, there was a letter in my house to see a consultant in the Ryanair.
Yeah.
And so I went in. It went into the Ryanair. It was a lovely guy, and he basically just confirmed. He did all the examination and he confirmed what I already know. He said, "Yeah, George, your right eye is very, very, very bad. I'm going to get you in and get that done, and then we bring you back to get the other one done." And I asked the guy, I said, "Will I be waiting long? Because I don't want to go abroad. You know, I'd rather get it done in my own country."
Of course,
you know what I mean?
As you know, Michael Collins, TD, and indeed Jackie Healy-Ray and Danny, and I'm sure other TDs as well, they're welcome to tell me if I'm missing out their names. They've organised a bus every single week up to the north of Ireland.
Yes, that's right.
For people with cataracts.
It's
incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah.
What they've done. Well, it is action. You are entitled to this procedure. And how did you contact Alicante? Now, you have more to be doing. You're lying on the bare concrete in an open air. I know you say you were a little, you weren't freezing, but I'm worried about, you're in the open air. I'm worried about security, and did you feel safe?
Well, as I said, Joe, like, you know, I'm 74, I'm an old age pension, I'm half blind, and I'm lying on the concrete. And it's the very first time in my whole life, Joe, that I really felt vulnerable. I felt vulnerable in it.
Yeah.
you know.
And sir, by the way, I know you've told me you don't have a credit card, but did you ever have a credit card as a fellow?
Never, Joe. Okay. My wife passed away last year, and she looked after everything in the house. And I'm only learning how to do all these things now.
Yeah, fair play.
You know what I mean? So, like, if a Friday I get my little pension, Joe, and I pay my little bills, I know how to do that.
In the post office or whatever you sort it.
Yeah, my post office. And a card, I'd be afraid of getting them cards in case I overspend. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be able to manage it.
But do you find it difficult now without a credit card?
Well, I mean, in that circumstances, lucky enough, I have a good family and all that. Yeah. So, like, basically, they're doing it. Like, if I'm going on a holiday, they do all that for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, great. That's what family are for.
I know that, Joe.
I'm sure they're glad to do it for you.
Could you phone
them from the door of the Ryanair aircraft in Lanzarote at 9 o'clock and said, "Can you call out your credit card number to this young?" The staff member here.
Yeah, I could have, Joe, but what happened was everyone was gone. I was left on my own, and my head just went, Joe. I couldn't think properly. I was distraught. I couldn't think. Honest to God, I couldn't think.
Did you panic?
Yeah, I panicked. Yeah, I did panic. Yeah, I panicked.
And you're on your own. Your family had already gone. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of ways around this. And by the way, these are just questions. I'm not trying to say you should have done more, but you say the queue were Spaniards because it was in Lanzarote's in Spain, effectively.
I presume they were all going back to Alicante where they live.
No, but you didn't I understand why.
Yeah.
You didn't say to this Ryanair staff, listen, would you shout out in Spanish, this man has 46 euro, he's willing to give if someone, he needs to get on this plane. Would someone use their credit card?
Yeah. Well, as I said, unfortunately, everyone was at the board of the plane.
It happened
quickly. There was no one there, only me and the two Spanish girls. There was no one there.
God. And stay with us, George. 51551 0818 715815. If you want to leave a WhatsApp message, it's 0871843709. Just on, I'm focusing on. I don't know if that would have happened in an Irish airport. I presume somebody, even a staff member, would have stepped forward and said, "Look at you, you look well," and it's 9 o'clock at night. And by the way, Dublin Airport doesn't throw you out onto the concrete and lock the doors. Anne Kelly, Anne, your random act of kindness, you initiated this. Tell us what happened.
Oh, Joe, yeah. Oh, Jesus, I feel so sorry for that gentleman and what happened to him. A couple of months ago on a Sunday afternoon, I was going down to Dunn's Stores, my local Dunn's Stores in Blackrock.
In Dublin,
to do a little spot of shopping. And I had a few coins in my pocket. And I stuck in, as I thought, a 20 euro note.
Right.
And I went down to do my shopping and did my shopping at the checkout, checked everything out, everything into my little bag. And all of a sudden, put my hand in my pocket, and the 20 euro note wasn't there.
Okay.
And of course, I was in, we'd say, a bit of a tizzy and embarrassed and all that.
Of course,
and the queue was getting longer behind me.
Mm-hmm.
But in any event, there was a gentleman behind me. And he'd be more up to speed with these things than. He tapped.
Your line is gone on me, Anne, unfortunately. I'll try and get a better line. I'll come back to you in a sec. Because of Anne Bourke, another Anne. Anne, random act of kindness perpetrated by you.
Yeah, hi, Joe. I'm sorry for that man.
George.
Yeah. And I feel if, you know, kind of, if somebody would have helped him out, maybe he needed to indicate it, like you said, maybe to go to the Ryanair.
But it was a perfect storm. He was last on the queue. It was an internal Ryanair flight, Spanish. Everyone spoke Spanish, and even people who could help him had gone through. The only people who could have, and they're up to their eyes as well. The only they're trying to get the flight off, because but the only people who could have helped him really are the staff. But
yeah, that's true. But people are kind,
remember, the Ryanair statement is pretty bald and blunt. This is their response to George's scenario. In accordance with Ryanair's terms and conditions, which this passenger agreed to at the time of booking, we can only accept credit and debit cards for fares, taxes, fees charged, ancillary services and in-flight purchases.
I know, and it seems very, very kind of unkind to people who don't have a credit card, and I'm afraid that's the way that the world has gone. Okay. But sometimes people do get stuck. Like, I was on a bus, I was coming in from Swords, and we were passing the airport, and there was these two, I think they were Australians, getting on the bus. I'd say they were coming from a bed and breakfast, going into town, their first day in Dublin, and they got on the bus, and they only had notes. You know the way you do when you come from a cash machine. The bus driver said, no, can't take that. And you know, they were equable enough. They said, oh, we'll go over to the garage across the road and we'll get change and we'll catch the next bus. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting there and I was saying, you know, that's kind of, it's really a pity. So, I think that
don't worry, you know, and that's someone ringing you to tell you you're on the radio.
I don't think so. Kind of, but anyway.
Okay, don't worry about it.
I went up and I said, look, I'll pay for this couple's fare. Kind of, I put one on my leave card and I paid the other one in cash.
Well done.
And they were, you know, kind of. They were going to town, they could get sorted out in a leave card or whatever they were going to get themselves then. And it was just, they were so grateful and appreciative. Now, I wasn't looking for gratitude or kind of an invite to Perth or whatever kind of, you know, it was just something I did. And I think kind of that if people knew that poor George was stuck, I think they would have, because he had the €46 and, you know, kind of he could have given that money. Like, I certainly wouldn't have objected to putting it on my credit card.
But they've no facility. You know. They've no facility for taking cash.
Yeah, exactly. And they don't, you know, and like, I'm not a spring chicken myself, and I do understand it's harder for older people to adapt to credit cards and all this kind of thing when you haven't been used to it your life.
Absolutely.
But I do think people are good. And the thing is, if you do something good.
Now,
like
Anne,
that,
can I ask
back
you?
To you.
Karma, good karma. Well said. But Anne, were you conscious of that random act of kindness because something had happened you earlier that day, or have you been the subject of a random act of kindness?
Well, I suppose I have over my life. Like I said, I'm not a spring chicken. But you know what was in my mind? It was that poor fellow who got kind of hit on the head down Talbot Street.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that tourists are being warned that Dublin isn't safe or whatever. Mm. And I was thinking, well, I'm a dub, kind of. I can do something
nice
for somebody else that'll kind of, they'll have a good taste in their mouth leaving Dublin, you know.
Okay.
And I think more people did that kind of thing. It would just give a better image, you know. Rather, we're all very stuck in our own little bubbles.
Well done, you. And I hope it does come round. It does come round.
I'm sure it will. It will.
And where do we see? My arm is just out of a cast. What happened?
Oh, I fell over on my holidays, and I have to say, kind of, nobody really helped me in the airport.
Where did you fall over in your holidays?
I was in France and I just fell over and I broke my arm.
Oh,
so,
you poor. And where were you getting on the plane after plane?
No. I was on my holidays and then I didn't.
Oh, you went at the airport, okay.
No, I was on my holidays and I just had it strapped up. I didn't get it sorted until I came back from my holidays. I didn't get into the cast until I came back.
Well, remember, you won't be allowed on a plane with a cast. Sure you won't.
Oh, well, I didn't know that.
You have to, because your arm can, with the cabin pressure, your arm can expand.
And I never knew that until I came back and I went to the ANA and they said, oh, well, you wouldn't have been able to travel with a cast anyway.
Yeah.
And I said, gosh, you live and you learn. That's the thing, you're always learning and you can always do a random act of kindness and pass. Everything's a learning experience.
Yeah, here, in the wonderful world we live in. Good to meet you, Margaret. Anne Bourke, now back to the other Anne who I'm told is on WhatsApp. And we were in the supermarket with you. What happened?
Oh, yes, Joe, sorry about that. I did my shopping and came up to the checkout, my bill came to €19.13.
You had 20 euro, but you looked in your pocket and there it was gone.
And there was no money in my pocket. But there was a gentleman behind me, and unfortunately, because I was in so upset and embarrassed, he just tapped his mobile on the checkout terminal and paid my bill in full.
Yeah.
And I hope he's listening in today, because I never got to ask him his name or anything else, because the queue had been, the queue was building up behind me, and he didn't make a song and dance about it. He just topped his mobile on the terminal, paid for everything. And Joe, when I came home, didn't I find my €20 on the kitchen floor?
Oh, well.
Instead of putting it into my pocket, it fell on the floor.
Okay,
but
okay.
It was
a random act of kindness.
Random act of kindness.
And did you get the man's name? Or?
No, because I was in such a tizzy that day, I didn't even think to ask the man for his name. I just said, thank you so much. And
well done, well done.
All that sort of thing. But he actually played it down. He didn't want anybody else to know, because he knew I was embarrassed.
Okay.
And he just paid the whole bill, and that was it. I never got his name. I never got to say thank you. But maybe he's listening in today, and he'll know exactly what he did.
Okay.
And it was, as I said, he just did it automatically. And he did it to try and avoid me being embarrassed, if you know what I mean.
Well, well done, well done. And it'll go round, and that €20 will go round, I'm sure. And if you get an opportunity,
nice of that gentleman.
Yeah.
And as I said, when I came home, I found the €20, which I thought I'd put in my pocket, sitting on the kitchen floor. Then I felt worse again then.
No, you're grand, you're grand. You're grand. Will you, for God's sake, in the world we live in, I'm sure you'll, as I say, it'll go around.
But there's the thing, Joe, I was thinking to myself, you know the way you do your Funny Fridays, and you used to do a Fiver Friday.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Why don't you do a random act of kindness Friday? Well,
maybe we're in the middle of it. Maybe.
And pick a Friday and just people
Maybe it's today. Friday. Maybe it's today is a Friday. I just thought of it when I was doing the promo at 12:30 with Louise. Obviously, I had the Ryanair story, but I said, have you, because credit cards are a big issue now, people, have you helped someone out? And there we got you in, and maybe the other hand as well. Listen to David Barry. Thanks, Anne. joe@rt.ie. David.
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
Same thing happened to an elderly man. I was coming back to Wisconsin last year, and he got to the gate, and the girl was going along checking priority and checking non-priority, and this elderly man was in the non-priority with a suitcase.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, you can't be here long, but you have non-priority, you have to pay £45, I think it was at the time.
Right.
And he says, no, I don't carry credit card, I only have cash. No way, he's now using it well in his 70s. He could say, you have to pay. I paid for
Good man.
With
your credit card?
Yeah, I paid my credit with debit card, yeah.
Good lad.
He was only visiting Dublin, like you. I said, make sure when you're going back that you have already paid for, you know? That was the only issue we had. There was no way to let them on the plane.
Well, there were no. David, would it be fair to say, and I'm not being glib here, there was no way they were letting the case on the plane.
No, the case.
If he'd walked over to it,
the man was going to leave the case. You know?
That's what I'm saying. But there was nothing wrong with the man. It was the case because he didn't have priority.
Yeah.
But I'm saying if the man had gone over and opened the case and put the clothes on him that were in the case, presuming, and left the case there, he would have got on the plane.
Yeah, Oh yeah, I'll tell you something. Yeah, okay, the man was a lot of flustered because he didn't know what options he had. Only but I went up and said, "Well, I'm playing my card."
Well, David, you put another question into my head now for George. Thanks, David. David Barry, George.
Yeah, like, sure,
could you have abandoned your case?
Oh yeah, they told me that I could leave my case and go on the plane. And I said, I was going to Alicante for 7 days. And I had a pair of shorts on me and a T-shirt. And I said, no, I can't do that. I couldn't be a week in Alicante, go to hospital and all that, the same clothes for a week, Joe.
Yeah, no,
maybe I could have, but I didn't.
The whole idea of a ban, well, you're not supposed to leave your case, but you could open it and throw all the clothes, God forbid, in a bin. But we weren't reared like that. Sure, we weren't. We know, everything. But they did say to you, if you leave the case, you can get on the plane.
She did say to me, leave the case there and you can get on the plane. I said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to spend a week in Alicante. I can't be in these clothes for a week. Going to hospital and all that, you know?
Yeah, okay. Stay with us, George, back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
George was about to get on a flight to go for a medical procedure under the HSE scheme, by the way, to Alicante, and his bag hadn't, because he didn't have priority booking, he wasn't allowed to bring a bag on board a Ryanair flight, and they asked for £46, which he had, but they don't accept cash, and he didn't have a credit card, so he missed the flight. And it was 9 o'clock at night, and the airport closed. I didn't know that, but the airport did close. They swept everyone out, so to speak, or encouraged everyone to leave. And he slept out on the footpath in Lanzarote. And his son, credit card, booked another flight, but back to Dublin. And George missed. It's a whole confluence of events. George missed his cataract operation. Anyone who's had a cataract operation knows the difference it makes. Vivian, random act of kindness. What happened?
Well, good man, you got that right, Vivian.
Thank you.
And Joe, I love your show.
Oh, you're very kind.
And may you keep it up, because if it wasn't for you, the likes of you, these things wouldn't be aired.
Okay, you're grand. You're grand.
Now, I feel so bad for that man. It's horrific.
But them is the rules.
Rules are no rules, Joe. Listen, we're heading down that road. I would say, I don't know what you think, about half are elderly in this country.
Yeah.
We are not up to scratch on this technology.
Yeah, a lot of people don't have.
And I can tell
cards,
you one thing, I won't be flying Ryanair. If that's the case, because
Aer Lingus. Aer Lingus are the same, I'm told.
Them all, the whole lot. It doesn't matter. Like, I'm going to give you an instance now, Joe. I feel so sorry for that man, because I have cataracts on my eyes and I'm waiting to have them done.
Hmm.
And for him on his own, he had the cash. What is wrong? What is wrong in this country? What's happening that they're refusing? Now, my son-in-law went to a shop, food takeaway shop, and he ordered all the food and went to pay cash. Sorry, we don't do cash. It has to be card. He hadn't got a card on him. He had left it at home. He only had cash. And he had to walk out of that shop.
Now, as you know, a few weeks ago, we covered on this programme, the NCT, the car test. It's run by the state, effectively, and it's quite expensive, as everyone knows. I think it's twice the price here as it is in Northern Ireland, but that's a different day's work.
Yeah.
But they said, in a statement from whenever, very soon, September 1st, I think, we're only going to take credit cards. And there was an uproar. And then because it was a government agency, the government intervened, and then they did a U-turn. They did a U-turn. But these airlines, including Aer Lingus, by the way, they're not owned by the state anymore.
I'm not saying, I just heard him, it was Ryanair.
I know that.
Like, I haven't been on a plane, so if that's the case, then you won't be getting the likes of me.
Okay.
Or us, people like us. Also, I went into a shop myself another day. Okay. Again, cash. Refused. And there was a sign, no cash. Credit cards only. But, like, if it wasn't for my daughter, I wouldn't have bills paid. Because everything's online now. I don't know how to use online.
She does all that for you.
I'm 76. I'm 76. I'm not the brightest. I've reared children. I've been through the hard times.
You're the best.
I've come out the other end. I'm ill. But I still don't know. I'm not technology wise. And a lot of us elderly are not. And we depend on our cash.
I know.
Do you know what I mean? What are we going to do, Joe?
The other thing, Vivienne, a few weeks ago there were power cuts left, right and centre, as we know, during that storm.
Yeah.
And when the power goes, the credit card machines go.
Exactly.
We're dependent.
What's going to happen then?
Yeah. By the way, have you ever been on a plane?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. And do you like flying?
I do. Initially, I didn't, but
yeah, great.
Unfortunately, the two flights were 14. Egypt was one,
okay.
And I chose my flights, and Mexico was the second, which is 14 hours.
Oh, good. Were you on holidays in both?
I was with my late husband, Lord Eston. Okay. We went on cruises, but
brilliant.
And it was brilliant because, like that, it was sort of you didn't pay. You know, you just signed receipts. You know, you probably went away yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the trip, then you paid. But, like, it was cash. And we knew exactly, with cash, Joe, you know what you're spending.
I know.
And like that man said, you know, I agree with him. When you get old, please God, you don't know that yet, you do worry. And exactly, he's 100% there. You worry about your bills.
But I know younger
when
people.
You have the
I know
cash,
younger people.
You pay.
We live in a society where all the advertising, by the way, and we have to check ourselves as well here, presenting. People assume that everyone has a car. They don't. A significant number of people.
Exactly. You're right again. Yeah.
Everyone has a credit card. They don't. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We have to check ourselves about the nature of our society. Vivienne, I hope you fly again soon.
I think the next time the place I'll be flying, Joe, is up to the man above. I'm so ill. I'm very ill.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Breast cancer and then from the chemo, I developed heart failure.
Yeah.
So as I speak to you, I have a defibrillator implanted and I can't walk far and whatever now, so I doubt I'll be getting on the plane now. You know, this...
But you've been well looked after, are you, Vivienne?
My daughter, and I want to say, my daughter and her husband.
Okay.
I'm with them at present. I have my own home, but she's looking after me 100%.
Isn't that fantastic?
And may God bless her and her husband. I hope you don't mind me saying this over the radio.
Of course, yeah.
If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be talking to you today.
Oh, my God. And remember...
I have two daughters. And my doctor.
Yeah.
Sorry, my doctor.
Okay, your daughters.
I hope you don't mind me.
Of course.
Sebastian, the Maple Clinic in Ashbourne.
Okay.
Sebastian Anderson.
Okay.
That man has saved my life 3 times.
Okay.
And the Mater Hospital are shocked that I'm still alive.
Right. I'm sure they're thrilled as well.
But I'm still going, Joe. I think my husband is up there. I don't think he wants me.
But you're in full voice anyway, Vivienne. Vivienne, and remember, I know you're on your hands and knees there thanking your daughters and your son-in-law and Sebastian, the doctor. But the daughters, I'm sure, if they came on and say, we are only reciprocating what our dear mother has done for us over there.
That's exactly what they say, Joe.
Okay.
When I say I have two daughters, and I have sons. I lost my eldest lad to sepsis. God help me, in 3 days he was gone on me.
Sepsis?
But sepsis, Joe.
And how did he...
Three days.
How did that come about? You got a cut or
I think
accident?
I spoke to you before. Alcohol.
Okay.
He lost his business.
Oh, God.
And actually, a lot of your comrades there knew him from Clontarf.
Okay.
He had a barbershop in Clontarf and he was well known by Jerry Ryan, God bless him, Maura.
Yeah.
They all went to him for hairs. But anyhow,
God rest him,
that's another day's
God
work.
Rest him. Yeah.
But he's in heaven.
Okay.
And as I said, Joe, keep up the good work.
You keep up. It's you and the listeners and the cars that keep up the work.
Yeah, Vivienne, but you see, we wouldn't be bothering ringing you if you were no good.
Will you mind yourself, and kind regards to you and your two daughters and your son-in-law and Dr. Sebastian.
Thanks indeed,
Vivienne. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Random acts of kindness. By the way, a friend of mine texted me there during the break, long shot, but can anyone help me? I ended up in a spot of bother with my dog and another dog in Finglas. This is 2 days ago. By the way, the other dog was a pit bull attacking his dog. And a man called Martin from Black Horse Avenue, which is in Dublin there, the Hole in the Wall, the great gastro pub and venue. That is on Black Horse Avenue. Well, the man called Martin from Black Horse Avenue, driving a white transit van, gave me and my dog a great dig out. And I would love to say thank you if anyone can find him. A man called Martin from Black Horse Avenue in Dublin, in a white van, helped a young lad with his, and he sent me a photograph. His dog is absolutely gorgeous. His dog was being savaged by another dog. I suspect from that description, Martin jumped out of his van and got my pal's friend into the van with the dog, and they drove off away from the pit bull terriers. Anyone listened to us in the last week knows what happened there. Charlie Clark, Charlie.
Hiya, Joe. How's it going?
Good. What happened?
Well, Joe, just a small. By the way, I'm still laughing what Vivian said. We wouldn't call you if you were no good.
That's okay.
Wasn't she lovely?
Gorgeous woman, yeah.
Anyway, and I'm going mad over George, by the way. Jeepers all night, I mean, nobody would help.
What a lovely man.
I know. Hopefully he'll get sorted out.
Yeah, with his cataracts. Oh, good God.
So, yeah. But my thing was only a small thing, but still, okay. I suppose they all count. I suppose we were down in Haldes there in June in Tormelinas, myself and Ursula.
Okay.
We were on the beach having a nice time there, and there were three ladies sat near us on the sunbeds. You know, that they were kind of, I'd say they were in their 70s, the three of them. They sounded, I think it was Dutch from what I could hear.
Okay.
And they had a bit of English, you know, but not much like, but they were there anyway. And so the lady nearest to me, she was lying on the sunbed, and I noticed she had a plaster on her lower calf area, and it was gone loose, and she was fiddling around with it and trying to put it back on. And then she took it off, and I saw it was a nasty kind of an open
wound
there.
Yeah.
And I thought, jeepers, that could get infected easily with the sand and
all that kind of around
the place there. And she was trying, it wouldn't stick anymore. So I just went off up the beach up to the promenade, and I walked along there looking around for a little general shop.
Mm-hmm, fair play.
And I went into one there that sold fruit and groceries and stuff, and sure enough, they had little boxes of plasters.
Oh, you specifically went looking for plasters?
Yes.
Oh, well done.
I thought, look, she wasn't doing anything else about it, and I thought, you know, the last thing she wants now is to get an infection on her holidays. So I managed to buy a little box of them, so they're only a few euros, and I went back down to the beach, and I walked around in front of them, and so she was chatting away with the other two, and I just held out the box of plasters to her, chipped up with me, like I had two heads.
And she took them.
She did, they were in shock, like, and I said, look, for your leg.
Yeah, good man.
And they were delighted. She was delighted.
And when they looked at you, they didn't think you were plaster, Charlie, did they?
They might well have done. So I didn't even say it to Ursula.
That was a lovely thing.
She said, where were you? And she managed to put I saw she fitted a couple of them back on.
Well done.
That's a lovely gesture.
So that was a lovely gesture. Yeah, a lovely gesture. And how was Ursula? You mentioned her earlier on.
She's great altogether now. Good stuff, yeah.
Good
form, yeah. Sure, always listening to you.
Okay, Charlie. Lovely gesture. Fair play to you for Irish-Dutch relations. That's Charlie Clark. Michelle.
Thanks,
Charlie. Michelle Whelan, 51551 0818 715 815. And remember, the WhatsApp voice message is 087 184 3709. Michelle.
Yes, Joe.
What happened?
Yeah. Now, I don't mean this. This is not meant to be a self-praise or anything. This
no,
is,
don't be worried.
I was giving context as to why some people... I heard your comments about why didn't people step up and help assist and pay. Because I did once offer to step up and pay in Edinburgh Airport.
Right.
The whole story, I had gone from Dublin and I was flying back from Edinburgh. And I'd already had to pay extra because when I was going out, I didn't have to pay for my suitcase. On the way back in the plane, it had to be an inch smaller all the way around.
Okay.
Now, I'm not going to say the name of the airline.
Don't worry.
No.
How did you manage to get your case on in the first place?
Oh, because there were two different sized planes, and this airline has. Sometimes smaller planes coming from other back into Dublin.
Okay.
Going out of Dublin, apparently they're one size, and coming back in, they were a smaller size. Okay. Now, I'm not sure if that's still the case. This was a couple of years ago.
Okay.
But anyway, so there I was, heading up to pay for the difference in the suitcase because I had to get back home to work. And there was a young man with his little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously not a lot of cash, just by looking at the clothes they were wearing and everything, but very close to each other. And anyway, he was being refused entry or access to the plane because of his little girl's case. She was carrying a little backpack or a case or something. So there I am, paying for my case. He said, look, sure, I'll pay for that one as well. And the old man started protesting. No, 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 no. And then when I said, come on, like, what are you going to do otherwise? And he said, look, I'll pay you when we get back to Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, we'll sort that out on the plane. So I rocked up, offered to pay. And this person who was being absolutely obnoxious to the young man and the little girl demanded to know, did I know them? And I said, well, I know his name, but I didn't really. But anyway, I said, yeah, of course. I said, we're both from Dublin. And she said, it's very obvious you don't know this person. Very obvious. And she refused to let me pay for his bag because I didn't know him and I didn't know what was in the bag.
Oh,
I said, could we not open the bag?
Yes,
have a look at the little girl's.
Yeah.
Mind your own business or you won't be allowed on the plane.
Okay.
And that was it. So that's the young man who, of course, was trying to manage the situation and keep his little girl, you know, safe and happy. Didn't said, look, leave it. It's okay. We'll just have to do something else. And he said, go on, you go on. And I did. So I never found out afterwards whether he actually got on the plane.
Why not? Okay.
And, you know, he got a feeling that he was in Edinburgh there was something kind of sad atmosphere hanging around the two of them. I don't know what it was, but anyway, he was devoted to the little girl, but wasn't allowed to bring the bag on.
Okay, and by the way,
you did say, rude woman.
Okay, but you did say, Michelle, fairness, and well, I think, Akali, you said it wasn't the cheap airline, did you say that?
Exactly,
okay.
Yes, I wanted to be,
that
was the airline that surprised me.
Okay, that in itself is a revelation, and Michael O'Leary should take a bow, because that man has changed the world because of the cheap Ryanair flights.
Absolutely.
And they are known for their cheap fares, which is an incredible thing to do. But as you say, in case people start jumping to conclusions, because given that Ryanair carry so many, about 100 million people, I think, it went up to 147 million people, there's going to be issues, and the whole debate about flexibility comes into it, and that's where George was in that awful situation. But anyway, thanks for pointing that out. And that sounds like an awful situation that man and that his daughter ended up in. Okay, Michelle, you know who you sound like? You sound like Alice Taylor, with your wisdom and your kindness. And it's a compliment to Alice as well, because you know Alice Taylor. She wrote To Schools Through the Fields, best-selling book of all time in Ireland, A School Through the Fields. Well, she's still hale and hearty. I was down with her in Inishannon for a few weekends ago.
Wow.
And we recorded The Meaning of Life in her living room.
Oh,
and
no,
that's going out. That's going out Sunday night at 10:30. Okay, Michelle.
I'll be watching that.
Okay, Michelle, go to Mila Margaret, and well done for trying to help. Joe at rt.ie 51551 is the text number.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie, random acts of kindness. Stuart, I'm looking at the screen here and the other caller. I think you were holding the longest. Apologies, Stuart.
No problem at all.
Well done. Random acts of kindness, what happened?
Yeah, no, years ago I was a taxi driver in Dublin and I was driving through at mornings and I picked up a mother and her daughter and they were heading back towards Crumlin.
Right.
And just chatting away to them and it was obvious that the child was like chemotherapy. She had an illness anyway. She was going back to Ronald McDonald's House.
Yeah, okay.
We were just chatting all the way. She's talking about the Avengers and when we got there, I just said, listen, that fare is on. I'm not taking fare off you for that. Like, because they were staying in the house across the road, like from the hospital, like you're up from the country.
Yeah.
So they obviously like they leave the house. So if they're free time, they just went to town or whatever. So I just said, listen, like if you ever need a taxi and you're in Dublin again and I'm free, just give me a ring and I'll bring you anywhere you want. Do you know?
For free.
For free, yeah.
Sure. Good man,
It's one fare out of the day, Joe, you know.
Yeah, okay, good man. Brilliant.
But it got me thinking because a cousin of mine died years ago of leukemia as a kid.
Yeah.
And I was a bit upset about it, you know. So I just went to a few of the other lads on the rank and I just said, listen, lads, would you be interested in, like, if you've done a charitable fare, like, you're not going to be on the road. Like, taxi drivers have to make a living, like, you know.
Yeah, of course.
But
if you
picked up a fare, would you do it for free for them? Like, you know, like, it couldn't be more than 20 quid anyway, like, probably going to the zoo or whatever. And then I decided to ring Ronald McDonald House. So I rang Ronald McDonald House and like I said, listen, I'm a taxi driver. A few of the lads you're talking to, like, we're all registered taxi drivers. So, like, Jesus, the regulator knows what you have for breakfast in the morning, let alone, like, so, like, your car is vetted and everything.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't take the charity like as a service. It has to be a charitable donation.
Oh, okay.
So we couldn't offer our services, like, so I was a bit disappointed in that now. But I'd like to think that like people coming up from the country with sick kids, wouldn't have to put their own hand in their pocket.
Yeah,
like,
but even I understand they're probably saying we have to get into bureaucracy, and then what happens if But what you've done is an example to others, I'm sure. And I'm sure, by the way, other taxi drivers have done it over the years, thankfully.
But that
was a lovely gesture, and it was a great idea to try and take it a step further, which for various reasons didn't happen. But the fact that you're spreading the word about it does help. Are you still driving a taxi, Stuart?
I'm not, Joe. I'm back home in Sligo now. I'm from Dublin originally, but I'm back home in Sligo.
Why did you give it up? Or did you give it up?
Oh, it's a long story. Like, I lost my job in Sligo when I had a taxi license. My father's a taxi man. You know him. I know your brother as well. Like, I shouldn't be saying that on air. But I just went to Dublin to work, basically. So I was travelling up on a Thursday and working through till Monday evening and back home Tuesday, Wednesday. So.
Wow.
So all good. I'm back home now in Sligo.
Okay.
Still go to Dublin though.
Ah yeah. Okay. Stuart, couldn't mean to mock it as Stuart O'Connor. Diana Ryan. Diana, you're in Euston Station in Dublin. What happened?
Oh yes, Joe. I was in Euston. I had been down in Kerry the previous day for a short break. And I had locked all my belongings, my phone, my keys, everything into the car.
Okay.
Anyway, long story short, I managed to get back up to Dublin to get the replacement key. And when I was returning to Kerry the next morning, I noticed that I hadn't got my credit card. So I had nothing. I was dying for a cup of coffee.
Well, come back spool back a bit. Back up there a bit, Diana, even though you don't have a car, because the car keys were locked in the boot of the car. Was there no way you could get them out, you could get the car open without having to go from Killarney back to Dublin and back again?
Oh, we tried that, Joe. We did try that. And because it was August, early August, everyone was on holidays. The guy that came out, unfortunately, he couldn't help us. He put these little balloons in. And because it's a central locking as well, he couldn't. There was nothing he could do. So he said, look, if you have the key, why don't you go back up to Dublin? But anyway, between the jigs and the reels, yeah. my brother had said to me, why didn't you just pick up a rock then and put it through the window? And he said that would have, your insurance would have covered okay, the breakage.
But that, you're not, you wouldn't have done that. But did you ever hear the story? I don't know if it's true. Is it a myth that if someone in Dublin had your key, the spare key, and a central locking, that they hold the key up to their phone, their mobile phone, and you hold your mobile phone to the driver's door, where the handle is, and he or she keep. Now I don't know if it works. I used to hear that he or she keeps pressing, and the signal, because it is a wireless signal, comes down the line or up in the sky, whatever, and would pop your car. But that, I don't know if it even works. But fair. Okay, so now you have everything locked in your car. Where are we in Euston Station?
I'm standing in Euston Station with nothing, and the train is delayed, and I'm parching for a cup of coffee.
Okay.
So first of all, I went over to Butler's. Yeah. And I told them my story and I said, is there any chance I could get a cup of coffee? And the supervisor came out, no problem. I'm sorry to hear what happened.
You'd no money.
No money, nothing. And I showed her the replacement key. I said, I'm traveling back down to Kerry after coming up last night.
Okay.
So I said, and I have to drive the car back up. And I said, I'm dying for a cup of coffee. Okay. So she was really kind.
Brilliant.
So then I was sitting there. And as I said, the train was delayed about 15 minutes. So I thought, I'd love a cup of tea on the train. Mm. So I went over to the little office and there was a lady there named Jackie. And I asked her, is there any chance she could organise for a cup of tea on the train? So she said to me, no, she said, I can't. I think that the girls that are serving have to pay for their own drinks and tea, etc. So I said, okay, that's fine. Mm. Thanks very much. I just thought I'd try. And I explained why, I was asking.
Yeah.
So she said to me, no, wait a minute. She said, hold on. So she came out and she walked over with me over to where the shop was. She put her card in, took out €50, turned around. Did you have breakfast? And I said, actually, I managed to have breakfast okay, but I'd love a sandwich. So she bought me an egg sandwich. And then she turned around and handed me €20. And she said, there you go. She said, look after yourself and I hope everything.
And who was this woman working for the catering
company? Yes, she was working. Jackie, she was working in Houston Station. Yeah.
And when did this happen?
It only happened, it was actually the 9th of August. And the reason I know it was the 9th of August is because it was my birthday on the 8th and that's why I was down there. I was celebrating.
And was Jackie,
50th.
Was she a supervisor, an inspector, a train driver?
She would have been a supervisor.
And would she have been an Erin Road Éireann employee?
Erin Road Éireann, yeah.
Brilliant.
Erin Road Éireann supervisor.
So that was a fantastic gesture on her part. So you get your, what did we have, an egg sandwich, an egg and onion sandwich?
And we have €20. So anyway, as I explained,
at this stage, you're heading to be able to get enough money to buy a new car and abandon your other car down at Killarney. Okay.
I missed one other thing. I had gone into this supermarket beside Jackie's office and I told them the story because I was dying for water as well.
Oh, for God's sake.
Your man came around and he said, pick out whatever water you want there. So I had the water, I'd had the butler's coffee, I had the €20 and the egg sandwich. So I got on the train anyway, and because of the delay, you'll never guess what they did.
I'm afraid
free now. Coffee for everybody on the train.
I don't believe you.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Of course, I was delighted.
So,
but anyway, when I got down and I got sorted and everything, the concierge was very nice. He said to me in the hotel that I was staying in, he said to me now, he said, go and have a swim, go down to the leisure, I'll organise that, and relax before you go on your journey back, because he very kindly helped us out the day before.
Fantastic.
But, so I was like, and then, of course, the next morning, I was on my way to work, and I said, I'm going to make a detour by Euston Station
and give Jackie
her €20 back.
And you did. Did you find her?
Yeah.
Okay.
Walked into the office and she was there. Yeah, I knew because it was 9 o'clock, that she had been there, and this was like a 8:45, so she was there the next day. I was glad, actually, that she was there, that I was able to say thanks very much, and there's your 20.
Well done. And Butlers were good to you as well, another great Irish company.
They were very
company.
Good. Butlers yeah. were excellent. I yeah. didn't think that I was going
now,
to...
Now, Diana, that was August the 9th. Have you paid for a thing since? Had you just...
I definitely have.
I know
I've
you have.
Paid
I know
for
you
a
have.
Lot of
I know you have. Yeah. Well done. Yeah. And then, come on, go back to the car. Then the car, we go back to the car and you have the key and it's open. You get
and
the car open.
Yes.
Okay. Now, how long yeah, did that whole kerfuffle take? Sounds about a week.
Listen, Joe, 9 o'clock and I didn't get back to Dublin until 6 o'clock that evening. I was actually, do you know what time I got to the hotel at?
No, tell me.
3 o'clock.
Because all this happened in one day. This was a whole
day.
Because of the car keys. The car keys locked in the booth. Okay.
Exactly. And the day before had been destroyed because I had to get the train back up to Dublin to get the key as well.
So it took 2 days out of your life.
It took 2 days, yeah.
Over a car key, okay. But you met some lovely people along the way.
I did. I definitely did.
And a reminder that it's a great...
story to tell after it all.
And it's a great country, yeah. Great country we live in.
Isn't it?
Okay, Diana, you mind yourself.
Thanks, Joe.
And I'm sure all your family are saying, I think I'll travel with Diana soon because we won't have to pay for a thing. Look.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Geraldine, I'm so... I've been holding you down for nearly 20... Geraldine, what happened?
Hi, Joe. It's been nice listening to other people.
Isn't it great?
The good things that happen, yeah. Yeah, well, what happened to me? Now, Joe, this is back in the 90s when I was still working for a bank. A young woman turned up at reception in the bank and explained that her bank card had been eaten up by the money machine, which was down on the ground floor of the bank premises.
Okay.
And she was flying back to the US that day.
Okay.
Didn't have a bean, didn't have the bus fare to get to the airport, had her ticket.
Yeah.
And she was really stuck. Anyway, that the receptionist phoned me when I went out and spoke to the young woman myself, and she explained things. And as it transpired, her father works for the bank I was working for.
Okay.
In New York or somewhere. So I gave her some money, enough for the bus and a sandwich.
Geraldine, are you on your catamaran out in the Irish Sea at the minute? Where are you?
I'm out on a little laneway that looks in one direction towards the Cliffs of Moher and the other towards Slievelva. But there is a breeze.
Well, I tell you, from that description, the breeze is well worth it to talk to somebody who's in such a wonderful, wonderful... And you're on your own there.
I'm with my two beautiful dogs.
Ah. And what are they called?
One is called Melody.
Yeah, okay.
She was the first girl that came to me.
Yeah, okay.
And the second is called Leah.
And are they related?
They're not.
Okay.
They're not. I tell them they're sisters, but when there's rivalry, but they're not always convinced.
And what breed are they?
They're greyhounds.
Oh, well done.
And if you're ever thinking about having a dog in your life, greyhounds are just brilliant.
Are they rescue dogs or?
Yeah.
Oh, well done. Yes. Come back to the other rescue, the rescue of this woman.
Oh, yeah.
Did you give her the money? This was your own money you handed over to her, Geraldine?
Yes, of course.
Oh, well done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, wouldn't have been time to pass the hat.
Of course.
You know, she had a flight to catch.
And what did your colleagues think of this? Did they not say, you'll have everyone coming into us now, Geraldine, looking for a few bob?
Well, it's not everyone whose card gets eaten by the machine.
Yeah.
No, they thought I was a bit crazy, I think. But, Joe, what would you do?
Well done.
There's this young woman with big eyes flying that day and no means to get to the airport.
And but did she ever...
what the lovely thing was?
Yes, yes.
I got the money back.
Ah, brilliant.
It must have been about a month later
she
I got it in
it back.
The post.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Great, well,
it was
done.
A bonus. Because I think if you make a decision like that, you kind of think, actually, the need is greater than any kind of reason involved.
Yeah,
and so when you get the money back, then it's like free money.
Yeah, the need is greater than the reward, and you're not expecting a reward.
Well done.
By the way, what do you do? What age are Melody and Leah?
It turns out they're both six. Melody, she'll be seven.
And do you think Melody and Leah ever raced in Shelbourne Park or Harold's Cross or Wexford? Were they racing greyhound dogs, so to speak, greyhounds?
One of them was a racer and the other was a courting dog.
Oh, God. And what would happen, Geraldine, which one was a racer, Melody or Leah? Melody.
Yeah.
What would happen?
She could have raced anywhere.
Yeah, but what if Melody takes off with Geraldine at the other end of the lead?
Well, given their combined weight,
Geraldine heading towards the Cliffs of Moher.
I'd be like Mary Poppins, only attached to two dogs instead of an umbrella.
And I gather from what you're saying, Geraldine, even if Melody and Leah did take off and they were heading into the great world ahead of them, you'd still hold on.
Oh, well, yeah.
You'd never let them go. Never let them go.
Yes, they're the greatest companions.
Isn't that fantastic?
They're super dogs, yeah.
Okay. Are they listening now? Are they getting all... full of themselves and full of pride.
Look, they rise above all that sort of thing. They expect adoration.
Melody and Leah expect adoration. I love it. Good to meet a Margaret, Geraldine. Enjoy the rest of your walk in this beautiful day in this beautiful country in a beautiful, beautiful spot. Seamus Malone. Seamus.
Hello, Joe. It's nice to talk to you.
Good. Sorry for holding. Go ahead. What? Cut a harley.
Well, basically, our new neighbour, well, we know him for many years, but he lived in Australia for a number of years, and he's just home in the last year or so, and he's our neighbour, as I said, and he was going back to Australia here recently, and we said, right, sure, John's his name, we'll leave you to the bus down in Turles Pass, which is not far from us, the City Link, and he said, right, that's grand. So I said, are you sure you have everything, John? Yeah, he said, well, I have everything, so... That was around, I think, 3:30 in the evening, and I think his flight was around 9:30.
Okay.
So he had to be there by 6:30. So the bus would arrive there, I think, an hour early, so he had plenty of time. So I decided to ring him around 7:30. I said, well, John, has everything gone smooth? You must be checked in by now.
Okay.
Oh, he says, Seamus, he says, you won't believe it, I'm not going to Australia. I said, why? Oh, he said, I brought a passport that was out of date, he said. I've no passport. I want to go check in, he said, at the Emirates desk. And he said, they told me this is out of date. And I said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to just check in and nearby hotel. He says, now go down in the morning. I said, sure, John, look, don't check in. I'll bring you. I'll go up and I'll collect you. It takes about an hour and a half, maybe, if there was traffic. Or you might make it in an hour in the evening time. So, no, he said, I'm going to stay in the thing. And I said, go back and look and see, is there any way they can accommodate you? And he was originally speaking to a male attendant. And he went to a different desk this time, and was a young lady, an Emirates lady, and she said, can you get your friend to photograph your up-to-date passport and email it to you, he said. And she said, and I'll try and do all the paperwork for you.
Okay, and, wonderful.
So he rang me and he said, I'm not sure where the passport is, Seamus. He said, because he was after leaving the keys of the house with me.
Okay.
He said, go up to the bedroom, and he said, it's in such a drawer. And lo and behold, I found the passport.
Good man.
But anyway, I attempted to do the photographing. Everything was successful. But for some reason, I was getting it hard to get the photograph through to his phone.
Okay.
And as it turned out, I think he didn't have the data turned on in his phone. It wasn't accepting the file. So anyway, I had started to drive towards Dublin at this stage, and I thought the photograph had gone through to him. Rang him about 15 minutes later, or he might have rang me, and didn't get the photograph, Seamus. And time was ticking down by the minute at this stage. So I said, what are we going to do, John? And the lady says, this Emirates lady says, look it. She says, put Seamus on to me there, she says. She says, I'm going to text you my number. What's your number, she says. I'm going to text my personal number to you, she says.
Brilliant, brilliant.
And she texts her number to my phone, and she said, send the photograph on. Now, she said, as soon as I get the photograph, I'll send a message, say, received or whatever. And within 5 minutes or so, I got a message saying she had received the photograph. So that was phase one of the problem sort of solved. But I still had to get the original passport to them.
Yeah.
And time, as I said, she said, if you can get the passport up to me by 9 o'clock, I'll be able to meet you or something. So anyway, when I was coming by, I normally go in the sort of by an all road, and I sort of go by there where the viewing area is. And I stopped in, pulled over, said, look, I'll be in the airport in about 5 minutes. She said, when you drive up to the departure area, she said, I'll watch out for you. She says, what sort of a car? And I told her what I had.
Right. And you drove up and down. And was she there in her Emirates uniform?
She was in her uniform. I drove up, hopped out of the car because I knew I couldn't leave the car parked too long.
Okay, yes.
Started waving my arm, and next thing she waved her arm, came over, she said, your friend really owes you a big favour. And I said, no, he owes you a big favour.
Took
the passport in, had him checked in, and he got his flight through.
Ah, Seamus, you're a star. You're a star, Seamus. And when did that happen?
It's about 5-6 weeks ago.
Oh, God, recently.
He's not back from Australia. He's coming back now in the next couple
of
weeks.
Did you ever get the lady's name, first name? Or?
Oh, I have her name, but
done.
Don't have permission.
Well done. That's what I'm saying. Send her a note or a card or something.
I'm sure my friend John would have looked after her, even though I think he tried to look after
Shannon, it was Shannon Airport.
No, it was Dublin.
Oh, Dublin, great. Oh, that's even a really, really... I know Shannon's busy, but Dublin can be mayhem. That's fantastic. Well done, James Malone. Catherine, what happened?
Hiya, Joe. I was out with my mum for lunch a few months back, and we were in a little cafe in Maynooth. I think it's called Emma's Place. And my mum has dementia, and certain days are good, and certain days are not so good. But this particular day, she was a little bit agitated and upset, and I got her in anyway to sit down, and we got a cup of tea, and I was rubbing her back and talking to her, and after a while anyway, we got up to leave, and the girl at the counter said, your lunch has been paid for.
Oh,
and I was a bit confused. Shocked. So I was looking around, and she said, the man sitting behind you paid for it on the way out with his own bill. So I just asked her to watch my mum, and I ran out, but he was gone. So I never got to see him or say thank you.
Okay,
but,
well, you've said it now, Catherine. You've said it
now. Yeah, so I hope if he's listening, because...
Emma's Cafe in Maynooth.
A
lovely gesture, and the gesture was greater than the monetary value involved because of the situation you were in. So that's fantastic.
I don't know if he recognised the symptoms, or maybe he knew someone himself who had dementia, and because my mum is quite frail, she's on a rollator, and you know, she can have good or bad days, but it meant so much.
Okay, well done you, and indeed your wonderful mother, working together. Like, I know you're helping your mother, and it's 24/7 for a lot of people. And Brenda in Malahide, quickly, Brenda, random act of kindness. What happened?
This is very trivial.
Nothing
but
is
worth telling. My sister was to a big shop in Aldi in Drogheda last week.
Okay.
And there was a gentleman, she did full trolley, and the gentleman behind her had two or three items. And she said to him, you go ahead, you'll be here all day with me. So he said, oh, thanks very much, are you sure? And yeah, I said, go ahead. So he went ahead and went off. And when she got up to pay her bill, the girl on the register said, well, that money there is yours. And she said, no, it's not mine, I've no cash. Or she said, the gentleman you let through left that money.
Okay.
And it was €7.20 to say thank you.
Well, that was lovely. Lovely gesture.
Nice.
Every little helps. Every little
was trivial, but nice.
No, it's not trivial. It's a lovely gesture. And I say the gesture is greater than the monetary value. Thanks indeed, Brenda.
Absolutely.
Apologies
to
all the other callers. I see that this. I'm so So apologetic, time is running out. Remember Alice Taylor, the wonderful Alice Taylor, half 10, Sunday night, RT1 television, The Meaning of Life. James Feeney is on sound, the PCOs, Shane Galvin, Richard Berners, the researcher, producer Siobhan Hogan, series producer Ned Egan, and Ray Darcy's next.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.